Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, text 82. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Tomara Charana Mora Vrajapura Gare. Udaya Kariya Yadi. Tabe Vanche Puri. Pure. The gopis thought, Dear Lord, if your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled. Haribo, someone has the speakerphone on and we can hear you. Herp what? In his Anubhashya, so let's hear from Srila Prabhupada. He is present in his words. What is a person? A person is their conceptions and mood, and especially a pure person, it's a pure reflection of the soul. So this is Prabhupada. In his Anubhashya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, quote, the gopis are purely engaged in the service of the Lord without motive. They are not captivated by the opulence of Krishna, nor by the understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, end quote. Naturally, the gopis were inclined to love Krishna. He was an attractive young boy of Vrindavan village. Being village girls, they were not very much attracted to the field of Kurukshetra, where Krishna was present with elephants, horses, and royal dress. Indeed, they did not very much appreciate Krishna in that atmosphere. Krishna was not attracted by the opulence or personal beauty of the gopis, but by their pure devotional service. Similarly, the gopis were attracted to Krishna as a cowherd boy, not in sophisticated guise. Lord Krishna is inconceivably powerful. To understand him, great yogis and saintly persons give up all material engagements and meditate upon him. Similarly, those who are overly attached to material enjoyment, to enhancement of material opulence, to family maintenance or liberation from the entanglements of this material world, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But such activities and motivations are unknown to the gopis. They are not at all expert in executing such auspicious activities. Already transcendentally enlightened, they simply engage their purified senses in the service of the Lord in the remote village of Vrindavan. The gopis are not interested in dry speculation, in the arts, in music, or other convictions of material life. They are bereft of all understanding of material enjoyment and renunciation. Their only desire is to see Krishna return and enjoy spiritual transcendental pastimes with them. The gopis want him simply to stay in Vrindavan so that they can render service unto him for his pleasure. There is not even a tinge of personal sense gratification. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakya Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Upakadhamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanas Chanam Dante Vidamyache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Tulisham janma janmani. Varagi yud bhakti risam priyatnai. Apaya mamana bipsamandam. Kripam buriya padukud paradu viduki. Sanatanastam prabhamasriyami. Please, everyone has to mute their phones because I'm hearing something in the background. So please. Panchakapaturubhya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So let me get set up here for a second. Greetings from Besant Falls. I had a nice week staying in my own place and office, getting a lot of writing done. So it's nice to get all of your association. I'm just setting up my desk for a second and getting back to the verse. Just excuse me, I'm just... okay. what I'd like to do, because this subject matter, actually it's very, very exalted subject matter. And I remember when I was first saying that devotees were asking to hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some people maybe were a little, not disappointed because they were hearing directly about Krishna, but very frankly, even when I was doing the Bhagavatam, I was doing the story of Dainakasura, I was doing the story of Brahma Vimohan Leela, and it wasn't as high a subject matter as the Chaitanya Charitamrita in terms of Krishna's Leela. I just should mention another thing. You know, different days are fraught with different obstacles, so I can understand that today may be one of them, because those of you who know where I stay in this barn that's been very, very nicely renovated, and the bottom floor is my apartment. On the top floor is what's a temple room, which is also a yoga studio. And today, the devotees that are in this community, somehow they're away in the afternoon, so they were going to have their Sunday get-together, I guess at this time, because I can hear all the children above me running around, so I hope that doesn't distract, but if you hear kind of right above me some noise, that's it. So what I thought I would do is, I just feel this way, that at the beginning of the class, I'll read something that I wrote, a philosophical realization, and then I'll go into this subject. So bear with me. It says, why suffering? Suffering announces that I am not the enjoyer and thus certainly not the controller. If I was the controller, then things would move my way. The false ego, in contrast, is the voice that shouts, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Suffering can thus help us remove that self-conception by convincing us that it is a false identity, and help us embrace what we are. The servant, that actually, that was not the one that I wanted to read. Excuse me. Not what we are. That wasn't edited. This is the one I wanted to read. Humility conquers death. Death is probably destiny's loudest announcement that we are not the controller. If I am the controller, then why would I die against my will? If we become convinced by impending death that we are not the controller, and thus relinquish egoism, that I am the doer, we ironically don't die. Why? Death is the illusion of impending non-existence caused by bodily identification for the purpose of false ego, being the enjoyer. Accepting God's will at death means identifying with being his servant, with our soul, which does not die. Now, I can see there'll be a lot of opposition today because I hear Madunga upstairs, and this takes... But let's go into this pastime, if it's at all possible today. I don't think I could be the Chankazi and break the Madunga upstairs or stop the kirtan. But it takes such subtle thought, because this is such an exalted subject. Why? Because it's the mind of Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who wants that mind. He wants that mood. And in these Antya Lila, it shows how he's getting that mood. And it's not just in this type of Raganuga Bhakti, it's not just an imagination. One is hankering for the mood, which is the eternal nature of his soul. So actually, Krishna is also his own Shakti. So taking the position of Radharani is not artificial. It's just relishing an eternal part of himself. And same thing with us. When we advance in Krishna consciousness and the nature of our soul in terms of our eternal relationship with Krishna starts to manifest, it's not an artificial thing. And when we hear about the devotees with the mood that we covet, in one sense, we're actually hearing about what we really are, which is a servant of Krishna who loves him in a particular way. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's nice, they're doing the samsara prayers upstairs. Wait, let me see what it's the Sri Guru Tramatadma. So I hope I can get through this today, but you're all so kind to me. Thank you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is it's such a sub. So Chaitanya, so we've read and they're describing the Sesha Lila, and the Sesha Lila, the end pastimes, it actually has three aspects. It has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilling his mission, both the external and internal mission. So he's traveling around and he's spreading Krishna consciousness. Then he's exchanging it with his devotees. And then the last part is that he's internally cultivating it. And this is actually the three aspects of a devotee's life. And we should have all those three aspects. We should be somehow or other trying to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to give Krishna consciousness. We should share and exchange that Krishna consciousness to the level of our realization with others. And we should also have an internal cultivation. We're actually watching our heart and trying to understand where our heart is and trying to actually view if the process is giving us an internal transformation. Because spiritual life is about internal transformation. Anyway, so we see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's actually Krishna searching for himself. And we see this mood of Radharani that he's coming to get, this high sense of attachment in the mood of separation. And we are brought by Krishna Das Kaviraj into the Rathiatra festival, where we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealing the inner meaning of the Rathiatra festival, which is the mood of Radharani wanting to take Krishna back to Vrindavan because she's not happy with Krishna, not happy with Krishna in Kurukshetra, but the mood of Kurukshetra doesn't allow her to serve Krishna to our heart's content. Why? Because when you serve one, how do you serve one? Your service to one is not just the activities. Your service to one is the love that you give. And the love that you give someone is in terms of your relationship with him. So a lover serves one by certain actions that reflect an internal mood of that relationship of conjugal love. A mother serves someone who is the child by some actions which reflect the internal mood of love, of motherly love. So you serve someone through your relationship, and that's why in spiritual life we're practicing Krishna consciousness. But the goal of Krishna consciousness is to please Krishna. And to please someone, you have to understand your relationship with him and cultivate the love in that relationship, because that is actually the pleasure of the other person. So we're seeing that Radharani in Kurukshetra is not satisfied. Why? Because although Krishna is not there, she cannot serve him to the full extent as an intimate lover, because the environment is not conducive. And we mentioned before, Vrindavan means the environment that manifests according to the desire of Krishna to enjoy intimate love. That's what Vrindavan is. So this pastime is actually showing the glories of Krishna, that what Krishna is that absolute reality, opening his heart to the most intimate love, which means Vrindavan. Often when I'm in Govardhan, and those of you who have been with me to Govardhan, you can imagine right now that we're sitting outside the temple room in the ISKCON Govardhan Bhaktivedanta Sadhana Ashram. Sometimes we call it the ISKCON Palace. And we're sitting and we're looking at Govardhan Hill. And I'm trying to explain, in Govardhan Hill there's two aspects. There's the tattva or reality of Govardhan Hill, and then there's the pastimes. And therefore, when I explain Govardhan Hill, and I quote the verse of Upadeshamrita, which gives this progressive gradation of higher and higher places, that higher than the material world is the spiritual world, and in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, you know, higher than Vaikuntha is Brajamandal, and in Brajamandal is the Vrindavan, is the 12 forests, and in the 12 forests is the forest of Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan, Govardhan is higher, and then it comes to Radhakund. So the question I ask, what makes a place higher than another place? And even in a practical example, I can say, for a young boy and a young girl or people in it, what makes the bedroom higher than the family room? Or what makes the family room higher than the office? Because it's an environment that one has constructed to exchange intimate love. You like the living room of your house better than your office. Why? Because the living room is a manifestation of your heart to enjoy intimate love with the family. And therefore, in the spiritual world, this is just a reflection of the spiritual world, there are higher and higher places, which means a deeper and deeper manifestation of God's desire to enjoy intimate love. And it doesn't mean that if one is higher that you don't enjoy the other. There may be the family room, there may be another room, you know, but one may technically be higher, but they you enjoy them all. So when Radharani is in Kurukshetra, she cannot serve Krishna as a lover. And that's her relationship with Krishna. And that's why we, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are aspiring for an intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. We are so fortunate that our Ishta Dev, our worshipable Lord, is Radha and Krishna. Our worshipable Lord is Gaur Nitai. We're so fortunate. Why? Because we've come in a line, a family of teachers, and we're connected to that family of teachers. And when you get connected in a family of teachers, when you get connected in any family, you inherit their tradition. And in the Gaudiya Vaishnav line, in our line, what do we inherit? We inherit the family deities. And what are our family deities? They're Radha and Krishna, they're Gaur Nitai, and that's called Bhagavat Sarup Gyan. You get understanding of the Sarup of God of which you are connected with. And then Sambandha Vishesh Gyan. You get a specific understanding of what your relationship is. So this is very, very significant that we're seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hankering in the mood of what he wants to be in the mood of Radharani, and he's hankering for that mood. And we see in the Kurukshetra pastime, it's revealed the Kurukshetra, the Rathayatra, is Radharani in that mood. I am not happy here. I am not happy here, even though you are here, Krishna, because I can't serve you according to my relationship, nor can you manifest to me according to that relationship. And Prabhupada gives, when we have an intimate relationship with someone who's the high court judge, when you are in the court, you cannot be satisfied because you cannot serve that person in your intimate relationship, and they cannot reciprocate with you according to that intimate relationship. So this is very, very confidential subject matter. So therefore, Krishna, we're in the part, we met how Rupa Goswami, he was the one that understood this. Therefore, we're Rupa Nugas, we're following in his line because he was so blessed by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by his surrender and service, that Lord Chaitanya revealed his inner mind. And this is the whole reason for the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to distribute and to relish this type of intimate love. And we're in that family or line. So Krishna Das Kaviraj, after explaining this story, we're in the part where he's actually explaining why Radharani is not happy. And it's a very wonderful verse. I'll repeat it again. Raja Vesha, because the Vesha of the king. She's not related to the king. She's related to the person who's the king, who cannot reveal himself to her when he sits on that throne surrounded by his subjects. Raja Dvesha, the king. Hati, the elephants. Goda, the horses. Manusha Ganam, and the big crowds. She says, I don't want that. Kahan Gopavesh, I want you in the Gopavesh, the dress of the cowherd boy. Kahan, near John Vrindavan, in that solitary, calm, quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy. But in Kurukshetra, you cannot be a cowherd boy. You cannot be my lover. And therefore, although I am with you, I am in separation, even in union. And therefore the Rathayatra taking them back. And this is the internal mood. It's so deep. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, therefore, is explaining. And he goes on to explain, and he starts quoting verses from that pastime, from the Bhagavatam, where the gopis are feeling, you have to come to Vrindavan. We wish these lotus feet may be awakened in our heart. Although we're ordinary, we're not great philosophers, but we have attachment for you in a particular relationship, and we're hankering for the opportunity and environment to please you and exchange with you in that relationship. And this is Vrindavan. And this is why we ourselves, those of you, I think many that are on this call, have on this phone conference, have come with me to Vrindavan, and why we attracted to Vrindavan. We're attracted to that Vrindavan because it represents that atmosphere. It represents the atmosphere where Krishna can reveal himself fully. And even though we're neophytes, when we come to Vrindavan, we taste that sweetness to some extent if we come in the right way. And I know, because I know most of the people on the call that have been with me, how Vrindavan, you wear those T-shirts, your kids wear the T-shirts, I love Vrindavan. But I know it's in your heart. Because for the same reason, it's in Radharani's heart, but to a lesser degree, you can't even compare it to Radharani. But because we are followers of Vrindavan, and we have a relationship with Krishna, and that's where the relationship feels most comfortable. Just like a father, he may see his child in the office, a mother, but when they're home, they're feeling much more happy. So here, the verse is the gopi's thought. Dear Lord, if your lotus feet again come to our heart in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled. Now let's get a few more verses. Bhagavatara shloka gadharita vishara karina. Rupa goshani shloka kaila loka bujhaina. In one verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. So this was Rupa Goswami's mission. He understood this inner meaning of Lord Chaitanya, and he was recognized for that, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. He was given all blessings, Sarva Shakti, all potencies for that purpose, and he carried out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by explaining these sentiments in poetry and drama. So we're going to read a verse that Krishnadas Kaviraj is sharing with us, that Rupa Goswami, where he explained this very, very confidential mood, and it's text 84. Yate lila rasa parimalo dhagari vanya parita danya shoni Felicity Vrita Maturi Madhuri Vi Patrasma Bish Chatula Pashupi Bhava Mugdha Tarabi Shamvitastvam Kalaya Vidanalasi Vena Vihara. So this is from Lalita Madhava, a drama by Rupa Goswami, and he's explaining the mood of the gopis. The gopis continued, dear Krishna, the fragrance of the mellows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forests of the glorious land of Vrindavan, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dancing on your lips and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable ecstatic emotions. So this verse, Rupa Goswami, he wrote the verse that represented Kurukshetra, and then that mood that verse expressed, which is the hankering of Vrindavan and the description of Vrindavan as the atmosphere that reflects the intimate desire of Krishna to exchange with his devotees, as Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of his beauty, Lila Madhurya, the sweetness of the variegation of his exchanges, Prema Madhurya, the deepness of his love, and Venu Madhurya of the flute. So here it says, why Vrindavan? Lila Rasa, the mellows of that, the rasa, the taste of that lila, Paramala Ugari, is the fragrance of the taste of those pastimes, Vanya Aparita, it fills the forest of Vrindavan, the Danya Shoni, the glorious land. So this is so nice. Those of you also, and one of my favorite places, Ter Kadamba, you could feel that. the mellows tasted in these pastimes, it's like a fragrance. Each little place in Vrindavan has a Leela Shakti. It has the Leela Shakti manifest. You can sense it there, not in an artificial way, but if you go to the places and you chant Hare Krishna and you hear the pastimes of these places in a very, very humble way, understanding that this is all kripa and mercy that we have no qualification for, but by the mercy of Prabhupada, who has given us Vrindavan and who has shown us to take the devotees on parikram, by his mercy only we're there, in that humble mood, then we can see that Lila Ras, the mellows tasted in those past, they're like a fragrance spreading, and they're filling the forest, and the dunya, the glory, and the lands are becoming glorious. And surrounding that of Vrindavan is the beauties and the sweetness. In other words, we're in the forest of Vrindavan. There's 12 forests composing Braj Mandala. So we're especially in the forest of Vrindavan. Our Krishna Balaram Mandir is there. The Vamsivat, where Krishna blew the flute to attract the unmarried gopis, that is there. Overdon Hill is there. Nandagaon is there. Nandakeya, Nandabaya, Jai Kaneya, Lalki. Nandakeya, Nandabaya, Jai Kaneya, Lalki. 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 Hati Diya, Tora Diya, Or Diya, Palaki. Hati Diya, Gora Diya, Or Diya, Palaki. So Nandagam is there, Jawit is there, and Arsana is there. But then there's other parts of the Mathura Mandala, which also, it's surrounded by that sweetness. And the atmosphere is congenial, the gopis are saying, of that wonderful land. You may enjoy your past with your flute dancing on your lips. You cannot take out the flute when you are in Kurukshetra, because the flute represents the magnification of your intimate heart. You do not do that in the office. You do not take out your guitar or your saxophone or your flute in the office when you have the position of high court judge or king or president, etc. You keep protocol, and that protocol and the relationship with people who have a relationship to you in relationship to that protocol, it's not the appropriate for that. So they're so ecstatic, the gopis. In the congenial atmosphere, that wonderful, you may enjoy your pastime with your flute dancing on your lips. And with that, I want to do one more thing for the devotees. I want to again just read the last lines written by Kushikrata, my Kavi godbrother who wrote 20,000 sonnets. And this is a poem, the last poem he read, which we found on his bed the day he left this world in Vrindavan. And it expresses his bhav, because it said, the flute dancing on your lips. So he had a similar thing. I'll read it again. He said, the saints all worship Vrindavan where Krishna Chandra of lotus petal limbs and peacock feather crowned black curly hair. May dancing music's sweetest flower hymns float from out the flute's sweet flower snout. And then he then his comma, and then he said, and dance, and then he leaves the world. Can you imagine? And that's the mercy of Prabhupada. He gave a qualified person in his heart the highest sentiments. I'll read it again. Just imagine. He's leaving the world. His body is raged with cancer. He has a picture of Radharaman and Srila Prabhupada by his bed. And every morning in that condition, he gets up and he writes 4 or 5 poems. So this is the last one he wrote. the same, and it's about what? It's about, it's called The Florist's Guide to the Super Fragrant Lotus Flower of Braj. And the first petal is Vrindavan Forest. And this is called part two of Prayer to the Vrindavan Forest. So he again, I'm going to read it. I'm not a very good poetry reader, but the saints all worship Vrindavan where Krishna Chandra of lotus petal limbs and peacock feather crown black curly hair. May dancing music's sweetest flower hymns float from out the flute's sweet flower snout and dance. And then he leaves the world to go back for sure to Goloka Vrindavan, which was his actual aspiration was to die at, I forgot, a place called, I think, Brahmakund, because he did some research, and it's the junction between Goloka Vrindavan and Gokula Vrindavan somehow, wherever that is. And he wanted to rent the room by that side. It's right in the middle of Vrindavan, although it's quite in disrepair. So let me just see what time it is. We'll go a little bit longer. E Mata Mahaprabhu Deka Jaganate Subraja Sahati Deke Vamsi Nahi Hate. In this way, this means now, in this way, in this mood, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, he saw that the Lord was with his sister Subhadra and was not holding a flute in his hand. So when he saw Jagannath, he saw that this was not my love. This is not, this is the Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. I want to take him, my Lord of the universe, I want to take him to Vrindavan because he's not only the Lord of the universe, but he's also my lover. And this Raja Vesha, Hoti Goda, Manusha Gaha, the crowds, the dress of the king, the elephants, the horses, Kahan Gopi Vesha, I want the Gopa Vesha, the dress of the cow, Kahan near John Vrindavan, in that calm, quiet Vrindavan. Tribhanga Sundara Vraje Vrajenda Nandana, Kaham Pabe Evansha Bhare Anukshana. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis. This was his mood. And what is the mood of the gopis? I am not happy here, and I want you in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful, his body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always incessantly increasing. So this is the nature of the soul, the pure soul. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Supreme Lord himself in the role of his devotee, but also showing us what is that perfectional stage. The perfectional stage is that we're hankering for Krishna, and we're hankering for the form of Krishna that we have a relationship with. And as we're in this world, that desire to see that form is always incessantly increasing. So this is the lobha, this is the greed, and this is the price that one pays for Krishna. Because we're only separated from the Supreme Lord by the intensity of our desire. It's not, we're not physically separated from the Supreme Lord. We're mentally or emotionally separated from the Supreme Lord. And therefore, to increase the intensity, this mood of separation is very necessary. And therefore, Prabhupada taught us to please get a drop of this attachment so that we can chant like a lost child crying for his mother. And I remember, I have a nice picture of Prabhupada on my desk here, and I'm looking at it. And I remember when I first heard that from Prabhupada, I could identify with that. Because I remember, I don't know, it stuck in my mind. my parents took me to Macy's on 34th Street. I know I was not even 5 years old. I can actually remember being in the crib. I can even remember what the room looked like. I can remember what I can remember what side of the wall the crib was on. But obviously it was after that. And I remember I was just in this, you know, I can remember the tall shelves of this store, and I can remember exactly they were like three things high. And, you know, as a young kid, your perception is very limited. And so I was standing around, and then I thought that my mother and father were gone. And I started to cry. Why? Because they were my shelter. Without them, I die. And they were my shelter for what? For love. That's where I reposed my love. That's where my heart would be satisfied. That's where everything would be satisfied with me. So when it wasn't there, I cried. I called. And what Prabhupada wants us to do in our bhajan is understand that we're in the same situation. Somehow we're separated from our shelter. And therefore, at least when we're chanting in the morning, we should be in that consciousness. At least theoretically put ourselves in that consciousness that we are not with our shelter. And our shelter is Krishna, and Krishna is there in the holy name. So even in our chanting, we can have the banks of separation and union. We can understand we're separated from Krishna. We can understand also that Krishna is there in the form of his holy name. So it's nice. We got some nice verses today about this mood. And as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if I can kind of remember that verse of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I think he says, was it let me see, I have one book here. His mood is Pujala Raga Pata Gaurava Bhange Matala Hari Jana Vishaya Range. I'm going to read. I have this nice book called Encounters with Divinity. It's by Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Bhakti Rakshaka Srira Maharaj, and he writes, very nice. Let me just read some of this. Guru Maharaj preached this Madhurya Ras, but with great proportion. What is not that thing? He perhaps used the 90% of his energy to preach that this is not Madhurya Ras, the negative side. To clear away the negative side, he had to spare, in his words, gallons of blood to teach us that this is not the rasa. Neti, neti, this is not the thing. This is not the thing. And whatever he did, Pujala Raga Pata Gaurava, his whole life in a nutshell is expressed in this expression. Pujala Raga Pata, the very nature of the Sampradaya is this. The whole tenor of his preaching, that this Ragapat is above our heads. That is the goal. We are to go there. But before that, you have got charm for many things, the grandeur. You should not try to learn that which is at present. You should try to learn that which is at present charming to you. Learn to utilize that for the service of this great domain of love. The majesty, the awe, the wealth, the reverence, what is grand to you, which attracts you most, all these things, put them into the service of the Lord of love and beauty. The absolute is beauty, love, and harmony, and autocrat, and everything should be sacrificed for him. Learn this. Whatever you come in connection with, sacrifice it into the fire to establish that Lord of love. For his least satisfaction, all this grandeur may be put into the fire. Learn this. Don't try to attempt to get him within your fist. That was the whole tenor of his preaching. So we hear these things that Prabhupada gave us. And it makes us humble, and we keep them so respectful. So are there any questions today?
I have a question, Maharaj.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Yes.
I'm not sure that it's actually a doubt.
Okay, but please raise
curiosity.
It.
You read something earlier in the class, and also mentioned it in the previous class about the gopis not being interested in the arts.
In the what?
About the gopis' indifference to or non-interest in the arts.
Not the arts, no. No, it can't be the arts. They're very interested in the arts.
It expressed something about them being indifferent to it, and I took it to mean in a, of course, in a worldly context. Do you remember?
I read exactly.
Okay.
Because it wasn't clear. Thank you. Similarly, those who are overly attracted to material enjoyment, to enhancement of material opulence, to family maintenance, or to liberation from the entanglement this material world takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. But such activities and motivations are unknown to the gopis. They are not at all expert in executing such auspicious activities. Already transcendently enlightened, they simply engage their purified senses in the service of the Lord. And they're not interested in dry speculation in the art. Oh, it did say that. They are not interested. You're a good listener. In dry speculation in the arts and music and other conditions of material life.
Right.
Their breadth of understanding of material, their only desire is to see Krishna return and enjoy. I guess what it means is that because they're very expert in all the arts and music, so I guess...
Yeah, that was the other part of my question.
It's a question, thank you so much. It's so good to have questions. That was P.R. Mohan's suggestion, because... I guess it has to be reconciled. And I think one thing that we also have to understand, that there's, it's very, very unique the way Prabhupada composed these books.
Yes.
And the way he composed these books, which is unheard of, is he did it by speaking once. And I used to watch him in Vrindavan do it, because my room was on the third floor of the guest house. And I when I would wake up in the morning, and I'd wake up very, very early, like 2 o'clock, 2:30, and I'd look down, and on Prabhupada's porch of his house, he would be there with like the 4 or 5 commentary books. One had 12 commentaries, and he would do it, and he would be speaking. So, you know, so I think it's that mode. So I think sometimes we ourselves intelligently have to reconcile it.
Yeah.
And one thing, it doesn't mean that the devotee should renounce everything that he's attached to, or you know, every proclivity, and you know, because that goes completely against Prabhupada's teachings.
Right.
I mean, you know, the whole Bhagavad Gita was Arjuna should stay and fight. And it doesn't mean that these things don't exist in the transcendental realm.
Right.
I guess it just meant that their only satisfaction was for Krishna. And that's what it meant. So they weren't. They had no personal motive for anything in this world that we would even consider auspicious. No attachments. It was all given to Krishna. And it's interesting that sentence was there. They're not interested in jai speculation, the arts or music or any. You know, what was Prabhupada thinking, or the arts and music? I guess in a mundane sense, because what he was condemning. Before, what they were condemning was material enjoyment, the enhancement of material opulence to family or liberation. So it was basically the materialistic religion. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they're beyond that. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Madan, also, I'm wondering if we can just make right now, I could call you later and we can discuss these other points.
Yeah.
How about between 1 and 2 sometime?
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try to give you a call at that time, because we're having that exchange.
Should I call you?
You can call me if you know Sachi Sutta's number. Let me call you, because I don't know when I'll be free because of these people. And if it happens, it happens.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions? Okay. Rati, are you on there today? Okay. And I'm Ritananda, I guess, if any of you are on there today. Anyway, if either of you are on there today, you can mail me the amount of people that came on. I just noted my own. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? I don't expect everyone to say Hare Krishna, but does anybody like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gordon?
Yes.
What did you think of that poem by Krishna? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Both readings.
What?
Wonderful. Both readings. I heard you read them both.
Let me just give you one more, okay?
Okay.
And to those who are still listening, I'll give you the first part of that poem. If I can find, yeah. This is the first part of that poem. It's prayer to Vrindavan Forest. Falling to the holy ground, I bow to Vrindavan Forest, where the glittering sound of Krishna's flute now floats through many a flower bough. Gracefully dances and brightly glances with music's light step feet, all made of gracefulness's poetry and beauty's worlds of shimmering ecstasy, Sri Krishna and the glistening gopi girls with smiles upon their lips all worship sweetest, sweetest, sweetest Vrindavan's flower forest. So can you imagine, he would just wake up every day. When he would wake up, he would compose between 5 and 10 poems. And it's not on computer. He would just write. So nice. Okay, thank you.